Now, I'm going to use a little bit of technology on my phone to follow the slides because my dyslexic, sometimes I don't read it properly off the screen off the bat. So if you see me with my phone, I'm trying to help myself out here.
Yeah.
For our visitors, I am not the regular preacher. I encourage you to come back and hear him next Sunday. He does an awesome job. So, what I want to talk to you this morning, I want to tell you up front. Keep your toes inside the aisle. I may get close to him this morning. I know to the world I'm going to get really close to him. Well, the topic I got to talk to you about this morning, I think, is something that really needs. It's the time of the age. It's the one we need to hear this morning. And for our online people who are watching, kind of keep your toes underneath the table as well, because they may hurt a little. Because I plan to preach the word this morning. Because I'll tell you why. It's already stubbed my toe. It's already made it hurt. So if it's made my toe hurt, I know it's probably going to make a few of y'all's own toes hurt a little. You know, the title of my lesson, The World Needs You. And you may ask and say, hey, what little old me can affect the world? As we go through this lesson, I think you will see why. Not only does the world need you, but Jesus wants you. The world really needs you, and Jesus wants you. How's that play together? How's that work? We can go with what was read just a moment ago in Colossians 1. Let's go over it one more time. Let me read it to you. Even the mysteries which have been hidden for ages and from generations, but now is made manifest into his saints. Y'all, that's who it's been manifested in. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Amen. The world wants to know the mystery of life. We have it in this room this morning. We have the mystery to life, the mystery to all struggles, all pains, all sorrows, all difficulties. Why is it bad out there? We have that mystery. Why? Whom we preach and warn every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. Whose wisdom? It's God's wisdom, not the world's wisdom. That's the difference out there. It's God's wisdom. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's the key. Christ in us. They got to see Christ in us. So what I want y'all to do is I want y'all to go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 12. And you can stay there for pretty much for most of the lessons. I may divert a little bit here and there, but you can hang in Romans chapter 12. Because I've used Romans chapter 12 with the verses here and there in my sermons. But when you lay out Romans chapter 12, it tells you step by step how to be successful as a Christian, not only within the church, but out there. It tells us how we can be successful. Even though we look at the world's condition today, we can be successful as Christians because it gives us that step-by-step process to be successful. First of all and foremost, it starts off rough. You got to be a living sacrifice. The first two verses start out this way. Let's look at the first two verses. Therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. All right, let me hold up right there for a second. One thing that you need to understand in the step-by-step process is based on God's mercy. God's ability, not our ability. God's mercy. We ain't earned anything that God gave us. We don't deserve what God gave us. It's by His mercy. As we go forward and read the rest of the scripture, you need to understand that it's all the gift of God. Our eternal life is nothing. We didn't inherit it. We don't have a right to it, and we can't earn it. It's based on His mercy. And it says, I urge you to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. We got to give our life as a living sacrifice. We got to give ourselves up to God fully. It's not about us anymore. Brother, you're going to hear me say it. Get over yourselves. Because it's not about us anymore. It's about God's will. It's not about what do I get out of it? You get a lot out of it, but it's not about that now. It's about God's will. That's the problem of the world today out there, that they need to learn, lesson they need to learn. It's not about them anymore. It's about God and His will. So we learn that it's not about us. We've got to give all of us. It's not just here in church. The lesson today we were talking about this morning ran right into this lesson. It's not about us. It's not about coming to church. It's about serving the Lord each and every day of our life. Every aspect of our life belongs to the Lord now. It doesn't belong to us anymore. When you can understand that, you start becoming effective as a Christian. When you put yourself in front of that, you are not effective as a Christian. Not in the church, not out there. You got to understand that. Because why? Because we present ourselves as a holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. We worship the Lord our God with the way we live our day-to-day life. We let the world see that no longer belongs to me, but it belongs to Him. They see Christ in us. So every aspect of our lives, every day of our life belongs to the Lord, and everybody can see Christ in us in everything we do. Where we shop, where we work, where we play, how we work, all that, they can see Christ in us. And we need to understand that. Do not be conformed to this age. Amen. Some may say this world and scriptures, but I love this age. Because you look out of the world today, it's about anger. It's about revenge. It's about me. It's not about Christ anymore out there in the world. They get divided over parties. Our groups. It's about what I want, not what you want. It's about what I need, not what you need. And we need to show the world a different way. We need to show there's a better way, because we have the hope for them. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may decide for what is good, pleasing, and perfect at the will of God. We talked about it, the will of God. But when you're transformed, you no longer look the same. When you're transformed, people should say, before he came a Christian, when they come up to you, that is not the same person that I know. Because we are transformed to be like Christ. When people know us from the past and look us today, they should say, that is not the same person I know. He's totally different. Or she's totally different. We need to be transformed. Once we're willing to be transformed and let God take over our life and give our life to Christ, like I was saying, it doesn't belong to us, we can start now being effective, not only out there, but in the church. You know, humble service. The world out there right now is all about themselves. It's what they can get out of the moment, what they can get out of the time, what they can do for themselves. They're all about themselves. But us, as Christians, if Christ living in us, we're servants, humble service. In John 13, 12 through 15, Christ is about to be sacrificed. And James hit on the head. Tell me the Holy Spirit is not involved in this worship this morning. Because James hit it on the head this morning. Christ was willing to leave everything to come serve us. His whole life here on earth was about us. And it was getting to that point where he needed to teach those disciples one more valuable lesson. And this is what he says in John chapter 13, 12 through 15. Do you not know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. So am. If then the Lord and teacher washes your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you also should do as I do too. We need to have that type of example. He says, you're Lord in Christ, your Savior, your Master, your Healer, humbled himself to wash the disciples' feet. He left everything that came down here. How much more do you think we need to do that? To be have that type of servants for not only to our members in the church, but those who are out there. Because those are the ones we're trying to save. Listen to Romans, starting in verse 3. For through the grace given to me, there's that grace again, given to us. I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of thyself. He ought to think, let me start over. I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But to think so that to have sound judgment. What kind of judgment? Godly judgment, not the world judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Listen to this part, brethren. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. An individual member, one of another. Let me tell you something, brother. We're one body. We all have different functions and different responsibilities. I'm telling you right now, if I take that pinky toe and hit it against that corner of that thing, it's going to hurt. And does it affect just the pinky toe? It affects every part of my body. I hit that toe and I'm going, I can't even walk right. I feel from my pinky toe to my head. Brothers, you've heard the saying that when one brother hurts, we all hurt. But let me transform it a little bit different for you this morning. If one member is not effective, then the rest of the member are not as effective. That's what we got to understand. So as a Christian, if you're not effective and you're struggling, we're all struggling. We're all affected by it. If this church here is not effective, then the Tri-Cities is not effective. So if the Tri-Cities of churches are not effective, then Virginia is not effective as Christians. If Virginia is not effective, look at the world out there today, then the United States is not effective as Christians. That's how important he was striving that you're a part of the body. That little pinky toes affects all of Christianity. You just can look out there and see how the world's going, and it's because there's a lot of us who are not being effective as Christians. We need to look at ourselves and say, hey, am I being that Christ in me? Am I showing that influence? But also, if you are effective, you encourage me to be more effective. That's the other part. When my toes feeling good, my feet feeling good, my ankle feeling good, I feel energized to get the whole body going. We having a positive impact on everybody or a negative impact. We need to understand that we affect the body. Not only do we hurt together, but we affect together. Just look at this pandemic. Look around and see how things have changed. We're not the same church that we were before the pandemic, are we? Because we are being less effective because Satan's trying to get in and create that divide. That means we have to work harder to encourage all the ones who ain't here to show them that we can be effective. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. There goes that word again. The grace that was given to us. It's not our gift. We didn't create it. We didn't make it. We have no responsibility of saying it belongs to us. It's a gift that was given to us, our abilities. It's God-given. So we need to use them to do God's will because they were given from God. If a man is given the gift of prophecy, let him prophesy his faith. If it is to serve, let him serve. If it is to teach, let him teach. If it is to encouraging, let him encourage. If it is to contribute to the needy of others, let him give generously. If it is the leadership, then let him govern diligently. And if it shows mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You know, we all have many gifts. And it tells us if our job is to lead, not only do we need to lead and govern in the church, but we need to lead and govern out there because they need that. If it's our job to have mercy, and it's a gift that everybody has because we've been given mercy, we need to give mercy. Amen. So out there right now, the world doesn't show much mercy right now. They show a lot of anger and revenge, but they don't show much mercy. So they need us to give that mercy. They need us to show that mercy. If you have the ability to give and help somebody else, you need to do that. God gave you the gift. You need to utilize them. You know, this love in action, I like this slide right here because, you know, we work in the middle of that. Where it overlaps, that's where we live as Christians. That's where we act as Christians. We act with love and mercy and grace. We act in that way. So that's where our life is right in the middle of that action. My phone's messing up a little bit, so that didn't work out too well for me. So Romans chapter 12, 9 through 13 tells us this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Above who? Get over yourselves, brothers, sisters. Get over yourself. Because it's not about you anymore. It's about God's will. Once we learn that and we start doing that, we can make an impact. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirit favors serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with the Lord people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Patient in affliction. That's a hard one, ain't it? We were talking about that in Sunday school class this morning, how difficult that can be. James was talking about a little bit at the Lord's Supper, how difficult that would be to be patient when people do us wrong. Says, I hear this statement all the time. I'm about run out of patience. I'm telling you right now, you don't run out of patience. God gives you all the patience in the world that you need. Man. You choose not to use patience. You choose to hold back on patience because it doesn't meet your needs or your wants. But there's plenty of patience. Man. We need to have patience, especially with the world right now. I tell you, it can be frustrating to see that everything that's going on out there in the world today. But we need to have patience. We need to be faithful in prayers we talked about this morning on everything that we do. We need to be praying about our brothers and sisters in this room. We need to be praying about those who are out there who are in need. We need to be in prayer constantly. Hospitality. Let me tell you something a little bit about hospitality. It's contagious. And I'll tell you why in a minute. We're going to really get some tough ones going now. Bless them which persecute you. Starting in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, it tells us this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower positions. Do not be conceited. Get over yourselves. If we can get over ourselves and understand Christ in us and follow these steps, we can be effective even in this world today. Who tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice. When you're out there with the world, and they're rejoicing and celebrating. Celebrate with them. When they're mourning, mourn with them. Don't repay evil with evil. Because it tells us, don't repay evil with evil as we read on. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but carefully do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, also fair, as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge, I would reply, says the Lord. You know, out there right now, the world is struggling with this part of Scripture. They want to get mad at somebody who's not a part of their beliefs or what they follow, or this party or that party, or this group or that group. So they want revenge and they want to be paid back. But it's simple. You know, growing up, raising kids, this is something I learned, is, you know, Candace knocked Christopher across the head one day. And I go, why'd you do that? Well, he did something to me. And I told Candace back then, that is my job. I'll take care of that. If he done you wrong, then I'll take care of it. This is no different. If the world does you wrong, it's not our job to repay it.
Well,
the Lord's job is to repay it. He created me, he created them, and he's the parent. He's the Lord. He's the one in control. We need to quit trying to go for revenge, but we need to have mercy, like Christ had on us. If we truly understand where we stand and the mercy that's been given to us, we realize that's what we need to have out there. Because it says this, on contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you keep burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. That's our job. If we can start doing that to people out there, especially in this time and age, we make the world a difference. We can be effective as Christians. Now, my slides ain't moving. We can be effective as Christians. Let me see here. You got to love technology. All right. Let me tell you, you know, I told you hospitality is contagious. Anger is contagious. You look at the world, it's running rapid like a wildfire. Let me tell you a little story before we start working ourselves to a close. You know, anger can be contagious. There was two hunters. I'll tell you this story. I probably told you before, and some of y'all might already know this story, but I'll tell it again because it so well fits to this lesson. There was two hunters. They decided the night before they wanted to go hunting. The one hunter said, look, I know where we can go. I said, we hunt on friend of the family's property. Hardly anybody ever hunts on it. I guarantee you're going to do well. We'll just get up early and go. He said, well, you want to call him? He said, no, he's an old man. He'll be up before the sun. I'll go knock on his door, and then we'll go hunting. So they got up that morning, and they drove over to the old man's house, old farm. He got out of the truck, and he knocked on the old man's door and says, and the old man was up, of course, and he said, come on in, have some breakfast. He said, nah, I don't want no breakfast. He says, I just want to know if I can hunt on your land today. He said, absolutely, of course. Y'all always can hunt on my land. And then he goes, no problem. And then the old man says, but can you do me one favor? The guy said, sure. He said, I got an old mule out there. It's been, he's old, he's in pain, he's suffering, but I've grown attached to this mule. And I can't put him out of his misery. I've tried multiple times, but I just can't go out there and put that poor mule out of his misery. Can you do that before you go hunting? He said, absolutely. I'll take care of it. He started to walk out of the kitchen down the hallway, and he held it up for a second. He goes, you know what? My buddy out there plays a practical joke on me all the time. He says, I'm going to get him today. So he get himself all geared up. He walked out the door. He starts to stomp, and he goes to the truck, opens up the toolbox, pulls out his gun, and his buddy's going, whoa, what's going on here? He says, I'm mad. He goes, what are you mad for? The old man won't let us hunt on his property. He says, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going in there and shoot that old man's mule. So he goes stomping in there, shuts the barn behind him, and he takes care of what he needs to take care of for the old man. But before he gets on his way out, he's kind of rolling in the hay there for a second. He says, I got him. I got him. I said, I ain't never get him, but I got him today. And before he gets the barn door, he hears, boom, boom. He runs out the door, and the guy's running across the field, got his gun in his hand, and said, get in the truck. Get in the truck. He goes, what'd you do? You're right. It ain't right. I shot two of his cows.
Oh, man.
Anger can be contagious. But hospitality can be too. Because let me tell you another story. Nevaeh started working at McDonald's this year. And so I take her to work and I pick her up every day. I got in the truck. She got in the car the other day. About a couple of weeks ago, and she says, you won't believe this. I go, what? I says, because she works the window. That's where she works. She takes the orders and takes the money. She says, the car pulled up and paid for the person behind it. She says, that happens all the time. People come up and they'll pay for the person behind it. He said, but the next person came up, paid for the person behind them. The next person came up and paid the person behind them. It went through 8 people before it stopped.
Wow.
8 people before it stopped. Hospitality is contagious. Just like anger can be contagious, but hospitality can be contagious. We can make a difference as Christians. We can have an impact on the world if we understand what we're here for. It's no longer about ourselves. We've got to get over ourselves, brothers and sisters. We've got to start serving the Lord. Once we start serving the Lord, everything, I promise you, everything will start falling into place. I told you at the beginning the toes would be hurt, and I told you mine was one of the first ones because I'm realizing maybe I'm not being effective as a Christian as I ought to be because I'm lacking in some of the areas I just discussed. About hospitality, mercy and grace and forgiveness. All those things that we need to show the world what it's all about. We need to do our part because when I'm not effective, I honestly understand y'all can't be effective, as effective. But when we are effective, we're helping each other out. But what we need to understand, we need to go to 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16 because this really wraps it all together. This puts the bow on the top. This is what makes it what it's all about right here. It says, hear this, a trustworthy thing and deserves full attention. Catch that? Hear this, a trustworthy saying and deserves full attention. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That was his whole purpose in life. When he came down here is to save sinners, to save you and I, because that's where we were before we got saved. We were sinners, and he died well before that. He saved us as sinners, among whom I am the worst. And that is my statement right there. Even though it is in scriptures, I'm saying it. I am among the worst as I realize these things. But for this very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the world, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his infinite patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. It's because the good Lord have patience for me, he can show the world what he can do for them. When I told you you need to be transformed, when people who know you before you became a Christian and see who you are now, they should be able to see a transformation in you. Yeah. Something's different about you. Something totally different about you. But we got to realize and understand, and it will bring us to our knees when we truly understand what Christ has done for us. And it's not about us. It's not about them. It's about serving the Lord. And we're going to do everything in our power to do His will. When we look at our lives in everyday life, is it a total worship to our Father? Are we living in a way that we are worshiping God each and every day? If we're not doing that, we're not being effective. Not only in the church, but most of all, not out there. And that's what we're here for, is those out there. As a church, as a body, as individuals, we're here to save the lost. And if we're not working on that each and every day, then we need to start working on it. Because God's grace and mercy and love for us, He died on the cross while we were yet sinners. He gave it all of us. He gave His all to us. Why would we not give our all to Him? I don't know where you're at this morning, but I can tell you I was probably there and Him there. I don't know where your struggle is at, but I can probably tell you I'm there with you. So if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, just let us know, because we are one body. We hurt together. We're affected together. And we'll get through it together. We strengthen each other, because let me tell you, that pinky toe, you hit your thumb, what do? You grab it. You protect it. I don't know what you're going through, but that's what we'll do for you. We'll grab you and protect you and pray for you and do everything within our power to help you through it. Because if you're not effective, then we're not effective. And if I'm not effective, you're not effective. We need each other as part of the body. And we're the body of what? The body of Christ. And that's what we need to show each and every day. And the way we live and the way we act and the way we play and everything that we do, that's what we need to do each and every day, is worship the Lord and the way we live and our sacrifice. So if there's anything that we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.